Thank you so much. And if I can speak to that, actually, I did take my family back once, and it traumatized my kids. I don't think I'd ever do that again. My 1.5-year-old at the time was surrounded by 5 soldiers with guns in his face. They surrounded him in a stroller and pointed their guns at him. He was 1.5, so I don't know how he was a threat. And so my older children saw that, and I can't do that to them again. And it hurts to know that other children deal with that on a daily basis.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Raha, for joining us on KBOO. Thank you to Jamie Partridge for helping us convert this to a radio-ready file. Thank you, audience, for tuning in tonight. Thank you, Stephen. This is Rachel Haynes. You've been listening to Labor Radio. Tune in next Monday and every Monday at 6 p.m. to catch another Labor Radio show.
You are tuned in to KBOO Portland, 90.7 on your FM dial.
I'm Doug McVeigh, host of Free Culture Radio. Every month, we bring you 30 minutes of news and information about people who use drugs as we discuss topics like safe supply, safe consumption spaces, decriminalization, legalization, harm reduction, human rights, civil rights, and much more. Tune in and listen to Free Culture Radio on the third Wednesday of each month from 6:30 to 7 p.m. Pacific here on KBOO Community Radio 90.7 FM.
This is Medea Benjamin. I hope you listen to Community Radio KBOO 90.7.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Good evening. You're listening to Prison Pipeline here on KBOO Community Radio. And today we're talking with Maxine Dugan from Espler about their year-end report and about what's been going on around protecting the rights of sex workers in this country. Maxine, welcome to Prison Pipeline.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much. And you're with the Erotic Servers Providers Legal Education and Research Project, ESPLRP. Can you tell us a little bit about the history of ESPLRP?
Yeah, so we formed back in 2010 in the wake of our failed citywide ballot measure here in San Francisco to decriminalize prostitution. We realized that a lot of people didn't want to donate to our campaign because they were afraid of having their name and their address and their what they do for work listed on the campaign finance disclosure forms that are required when you do, you know, campaigns. So we put together a 501c3 for folks to be able to donate privately. And we wanted to really try to address the lack of research for the prostitute nation. You know, there's just no good research on the demographics about us, who we are, our situation. And we see all the antis out there misrepresenting, you know, our population. And so we're working on those things. We also wanted to address the legal issues because we felt like there was an opportunity to get an injunction in court against the anti-prostitution law here in California because it's unconstitutional. It violates people's right to sexual privacy, right to privacy. So we did that litigation in federal court in 2015. We got as far as the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and our case was dismissed. And we just felt that the, you know, the composition of the Supreme Court was not going to be amicable to our cause, so we didn't pursue it any further. So we're retooling and looking at filing that lawsuit at the state level because our state now has all of these. You know, we have a privacy provision in our state constitution. And we think in the wake of the, you know, erasing of women's rights to access to, you know, legal and safe abortion, that, you know, we need to expand those reproductive rights to now become, you know, sexual privacy rights for everybody. So that's what we're looking at right now.
Recently, you released both your end of the year report, and you also recently had the National Day of Remembrance for murdered sex workers.
The International Day to End Violence Against Sex Workers. And right. So we see a bunch of, you know, different sex worker groups and our allies come together and, you know, host, you know, vigils about the people who have passed. You know, people who are killed on their job working in the sex industry, and just, you know, try to call attention to the violence that we think decriminalization will bring an end to.
Yeah, I saw the memorial this year, and it was very moving. It was a really moving remembrance and a kind of call to action. And then recently, Prison Pipeline, we got your end of the year report. So I thought maybe we could talk for a while about what the status is of the rights of sex workers in the country right now. Maybe we could start by sort of talking about some of the highlights, and then maybe after that we could get into more of a general conversation.
You know, sex workers are everywhere. And a lot of people are involved in, you know, harm reduction organizations, you know, political groups, different, trying to feed people on the street, there's just, you know, we're just everywhere doing a lot of different things. So that was super, super exciting to get that going. And next year it's going to be in New Orleans. So the Super Bowl is going to be in New Orleans. So we're going to start our organizing early and get to New Orleans and, you know, hopefully get some donations to help get us all there and get us all organized to, you know, get those on the ground local communities to start to push back on the police and these media narratives. Because, you know, here in the Bay Area, we don't have the media, you know, shouting all this false and misleading information that the police are feeding them about forced labor in the sex industry and renaming everybody as sex trafficking victims and, you know, all of our customers as sex traffickers for a reason, because we have been at the forefront of pushing back on the media about those false and misleading narratives. And, you know, they're used to being challenged. And we have a lot of groups here actually in Northern California, and we work together. We work together on pushing back on these issues. And, you know, we don't have the police agencies issuing these press releases telling the public, you know, misinformation, how they have rescued all these, you know, children from, you know, being sex slaves. Because, you know, for number one, it's not true, but also because, you know, they know that they're going to get a bunch of pushback, not only from us, sex worker groups, but you're going to get a bunch of pushback from all of our allies, because we've made a whole ton of allies here. And allies are an important part of our organizing, an important part of our social justice movement.
We're talking today with Maxine Dugan about the end of the year report from SLRP. We're talking about the rights of sex workers. Another thing that your report talked about was how the war on sex work is stripping your privacy rights. Could you talk about that?
Oh my gosh, yes. So through the generous donation of the Rose Foundation, we were able to focus on some consumer privacy rights with our research project that we did. And what we did is we sent out a public records request to all law enforcement agencies in the state of California, asking them for the citation numbers of prostitution arrests that they have made here. And then we asked for all of the technology that they used to make those prostitution arrests. So as you can imagine, a lot of police agencies do not respond to public records requests. You know, a lot of them are in violation of the California Public Records Request Act and just didn't respond, but a lot of them did. So you can go on our website. It's called caforprivacy.org, and you can see that report that we put together. You can see county by county which police agencies responded with the citation numbers and which ones did not. And what we were really looking at here, especially in the wake of the Super Bowl in Los Angeles, is, and that was in 2022, you know, all these police agencies, again, they come forward with these public record, you know, these press releases and say, oh, we rescued all these people, and they make these really nice, glossy, you know, PDFs of, you know, their human trafficking task forces that are always just made up of law enforcement and how they rescued all these people, and they get all this money from the federal government to do all this activity. And then when you read the report, you find out, oh no, 95% of the people they made contact with were issued prostitution citations. You know, that there were a couple people who maybe didn't get issued citations. Maybe some people were charged with actual sex trafficking, but maybe a couple were charged with just pimping and pandering. You know, in the state of California, the pimping and pandering law says that, you know, if you receive any money from a prostitute, you know, like my adult children who I helped through college, you know, they can be charged with pimping and pandering. That's what pimping means in the state of California under California state law. So, you know, those laws, felony laws, criminalize all of our, not only our domestic relationships, but they criminalize our, you know, all of our commercial relationships. You know, if I give money to the dry cleaner or the landlord, you know, they're all considered pimps under California state law. So, you know, those are some of the problems that those reports from the police never reveal. So what we wanted to expose in our report on how the war on sex work is stripping your privacy rights is all this technology, this unregulated technology, is being used by the police departments to go in and arrest people for prostitution under the guise of rescuing a sex trafficking victim. So we had one sheriff in, I think it was Santa Barbara, respond and say that they couldn't provide us with the citation numbers that they had issued for prostitution because it would expose the identity of the sex trafficking victims. So we're like, wait a minute. That means that you are issuing citations to people who are sex trafficking victims for prostitution? What is going on here? So we just had a lot of those types of exposures in the public records requests that we really wanted to tell the public about. And we wanted to tell the public about all of this technology that's being used by law enforcement agencies. It's totally, totally unregulated. It's, you know, this technology is used in the prostitution sting operations. You know, we're talking about body-worn cameras. We're talking about the license plate readers. You know, the police get to put up these little, what do you call them? They're sort of these things that they're like little trailers that you'll see. Like, I see it in the parking lot over at the Safeway in Oakland all the time when I'm over there. And it's this little white trailer that has solar panels on it, and it has a big huge pole that goes up high, and it has cameras on
it. Yeah, I've seen those. I've wondered what on earth those things are.
They have a speaker on it. They have a sound recording mechanism, so if there's any gunshots People can get on a gunshot app and see where the gunshots are in their town. But really, you know, they're just violating the privacy rights of people that are going to Safeway. You know, it just records all this data. And it's like, where is that data going? The police are obviously collecting it. So the police are collecting databases of all of this data of who's going to Safeway, who's walking down this street, who's driving down this street. And it's all being sucked up into these police agencies. And so then our questions were like, wait a minute, are the police agencies selling our data back to some of these technology companies? And what are the technology companies doing with it? Well, you know what they're doing with it. You know, they are cross matching all this data with all the social media, and they're creating biometric profiles on us. That's what they're doing. And it's just frightening.
I hope they get my good side.
Girl, you know they have. There's some of these databases. There's one called Spotlight that's being run by a group called Thor, a nonprofit called Thor, which is the one that Ashton Kutcher, the famous actor, was involved in. I remember when he founded this, you know, oh, we're going to save all these sex trafficking victims. And so this software that they developed scans all of the adult websites for our faces, our phone numbers, our emails, our tattoos, all of this stuff is sucked up into that Spotlight database. And then it's provided on a subscription-free basis back to law enforcement agencies. But anybody can get a subscription to that, you know, a database and, you know, go stalking and, you know, giving, you know, stalking on sex workers or, you know, we see people in the industry change her name or change her location because she's been arrested or because she's got a stalker and, you know, she's got kids and, you know, she needs to, like, you know, maintain her privacy better. And, you know, so here this Spotlight is just, it's one of the many ways that we found that all of people's privacy is being, you know, stripped away and not respected. And it's a big problem. And it's going to be a bigger problem when all the AI stuff comes online in the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a huge problem. But some of the other problems we found in our public records requests in pulling some of the charging documents is that the police are still using condoms as evidence. And so in California, we had a law passed in 2019 that said that condoms could no longer be used as evidence in prostitution cases. But here we found that not only are the police collecting and evidence.
Used condoms or unused condoms?
Whatever, girl. You know, they're just they're showing up in the charging documents to help, you know, the DA, the district attorneys, make prostitution cases. And we found that some of the training materials that the police are still using are showing the police, training the police on how to find our condoms. You know, if you go into one of the massage parlor, you know, I mean, I worked in the massage parlor. I started working in a massage parlor, you know, back in the 80s. And, you know, hiding condoms was definitely a thing because, you know, the police could walk in anytime and search for anything they wanted without a search warrant. And, you know, if they found those condoms, you were all going to jail. Or if they found used condoms in the trash, you were all going to jail. Yeah, they would go through the trash. So, you know, we want to be able to, you know, promote, you know, at least in our state, California, the getting to zero policy, you know, that we want zero HIV transmissions. And to get there, you know, we have to incentivize people to be able to use, you know, condoms or barriers to have protected sex. And here we have the police, you know, being against that public health policy and using the criminalization of prostitution law to undermine that public health policy.
Great. Just to give another idea, we're talking today with Maxine Dugan about the status of sex workers' rights in this country. Every year, SLRP does kind of a state of the situation report that they send out. And we're just talking about what's going on right now to protect sex workers.
Yeah. So some of the other things we... Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, no, go ahead. I was just going to ask you probably what you were just about to say.
I was just going to blither on and on and on about the report, the report on how the war on sex work is stripping your privacy rights. So, yeah, so a lot of those license plate readers are being set up in certain neighborhoods that the police have designated, you know, are crime ridden. And so then we see cities like Los Angeles issue what are called, quote, Dear John letters, end quote. And so, you know, we don't like to use the word, you know, John. We think it's an epithet, you know, when you're talking about our clients. But really what this license plate reader is doing is collecting people's license plates and finding, working with DMV somehow, the Department of Motor Vehicles, to find people's addresses or where that vehicle is registered to, and sending them a letter saying, oh, all these poor sex trafficking victims, you know, that you drove by, you know, we hope you don't stop and pick them up. You know, I mean, it's just ridiculous, because you don't know why people are driving down the street, you know, and making all this assumption that people are driving down the street to find hookers. I mean, we should have a street designated to us where they can come and find us pretty easily. I mean, that should be like a thing. I mean, it's a thing in other Nordic, you know, countries. They have, you know, certain areas that people can go and drive through and, you know, pick people up and go do their private business. And, you know, yeah, that should be a thing. Anyway, you know, but part of the problem, you know, here in America is, you know, we don't, you know, we're just not so logical. We're not for some reason, we're not as accepting. But I think really as a society, people don't really like the arresting of prostitutes. They don't like, you know, they don't think that's a really great thing. But when you start talking to them about sex trafficking, we got to save the children, then people are like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah. You know, but they have no idea that it's really just the police and all these nonprofits who have renamed us as sex trafficking victims, and that, you know, arresting us for prostitution is the best way to do that. And I don't think the public really understands that. I think the other thing the public really doesn't understand is that there is all this federal money coming out of Washington, D.C. into these local police departments and these nonprofit organizations to, you know, try to address trafficking. But really what that money is doing is it incentivizes local police departments and these NGOs who run the media operation to misinform people from the media perspective, is that it makes the police pay attention to all these prostitution sting operations. And then they're not really paying attention to the other crime that local communities are super concerned about. In our community, it's all about the car break-ins and the car theft, and you're stealing people's catalytic converters, you know. But yeah, we've got, you know, millions and millions and millions of dollars being poured into these human trafficking task forces under the guise of rescuing children. But really, all they're doing is making misdemeanor prostitution arrests. You know, that's really all that they're doing. So, I mean, we saw that too with, you know, all the war on drugs stuff, you know, all that federal money being poured into, you know, neighborhoods that, you know, people weren't there. They weren't that concerned about that. They're always concerned about these other things. So, I mean, I think that's, you know, why we want to see some decriminalization, is we just want to take the police off of, you know, the eating pizza, drinking beer in the hotel room, you know, situation where they're getting paid overtime.
Maybe the last thing that we'll have time to cover today is the status of Senate Bill 14. What happened to that?
So Senate Bill 14 in California made people that were sex trafficking, you know, forcing a somebody under 18 into prostitution to be not only a felon and have to register on the sex and sex registry, but to also have a strike on their record. So, you know, three strikes, you know, it's 25 to life in California. And you know, we fought back against that because some of our research showed, and even in the public discourse, you can see the majority of the people that are being charged with forced labor of a minor are people in their early 20s, and they're women. So because the sex trafficking laws and their definitions are so broad-based and convoluted, people who are helping you post your ad can be sex traffickers. People who drive you to your, you know, your call at a hotel can be charged with sex trafficking. All of those things, you know, associated with the work of prostitution are all categorized as sex trafficking and forced labor. And especially for minors, if there's a minor involved, you don't even need force to be an element. You know, just being next to, you know, a 17-year-old, you know, if you give somebody a ride, you know, you pick her up at a hotel and find out, oh, she's in a bad situation, and, you know, the customer drives her down the street, you know, gets her another hotel room and buys her a phone and gets her dinner. I mean, that's sex trafficking in California, unfortunately. So what we saw are all these young women of color, both at the state and federal level, are being charged with sex trafficking of minors when really all they're just trying to do is help, you know, the person standing next to them on the street corner. Hey, this is what I do for money. You know, this is how I pay for food. This is how I'm paying for my hotel room. You can do it too. I can help you do it. And so those things, you know, are already, you know, sex trafficking under both the state and federal law. And SB 414 wanted to take it a step further and make it a strike. And we're like, no, we don't want to see, you know, young people of color, especially young women, be laden with a strike on their record for just trying to help the person standing next to them how to survive. Because unfortunately, prostitution is a social safety net in this country, right? We don't have a good social safety net. Prostitution is the social safety net. Now, you or I and listeners might not like that fact. We would like to maybe change it. And we think part of the way to change it is to get some decriminalization of prostitution, remove the criminalization laws, you know, get some anti-discrimination going, but really force, you know, the policymakers to deal with the fact that there's just no safety net. There's no social safety net in this country. It's just abominable to, you know, once people, I know there's probably a lot of people listening who are involved in, you know, doing harm reduction and, you know, trying to get people housed. And it's just a fiasco, the amount of homelessness that people are experiencing in our country.
So we've been talking tonight with Maxine Dugan from the Erotic Service Provider Legal Education and Research Project. Maxine, if people would like to find out more about the end of the year report, about ESPLR or any of the organizations associated, where can they go?
You can always go to our Twitter account, you know, ESPLRES, it's our acronyms, ESPLERP at Twitter. You can go to our website, the Erotic Service Providers Legal Education and Research Project.org. You can go to StopTheRaids.org and go, you know, come out for one of our rallies, you know, support us. You can support us on our website through Venmo or PayPal.
Great. Maxine, thanks so much for joining us today on KBOO Community Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Hi, this is Emma. I am a co-host, and I'm also the current president of the board of directors here at KBOO. At KBOO, we prove every day that people-powered radio has the ability to bring us together across distances and give us hope when we feel despair. Your friends at KBOO want to remind you that generosity has the same power. Join thousands of KBOO supporters from all around the world, and let's rally together to build stronger communities. If you can, just go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to this number 44321. And thanks so much for your support of KBOO Community Radio.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be
listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K2H2BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.